I want my 5280 gig now!
From the 5280 Studios, Weekend Geek Update, Spotlight Edition, Smurf here. First interview of 2019, and it is my honor, my privilege, to be associated, to even call this couple and little monkey friends. Christina and Raphael has been on multiple times. In fact, Raphael, I give him a hard time because I always try to call him Ralph because of Ninja Turtles.
No, that's which is Raph.
It's Raph. I know it's Raph.
Messing that up. Raph.
That's up there with Ewan McGregor.
You don't Ewan. Know. I know Ewan McGregor. It's not me unless I fuck your name up.
You know, that's how you know your friends.
That's true. Because we were hanging out at Rocky Mountain Con at the end of this con season. And, of course, I was giving Raphael a hard time. And just because I love you. Dude, more your respect. In fact, we did the Dink Art Show. Uh-huh. I took one of your original sketches, your Ms. Marvel.
Oh, nice.
That thing is beautiful.
Thank you.
I am so impressed with how far your pencils and art has come over the years. Dude, you're a rock star.
Oh, you should see PA Issue 3. It's shaping up real good.
Really?
Yeah. Shameless plug.
Nothing. No shameless about it. We are about independent art. You guys are going to be at Dink, right?
Yes.
Because the con season is starting, and it is... I'm sure you guys have been working hard. Have you... Did you do anything for the stock show that's going on right now?
The stock show?
Yeah. The Western stock show down at the complex down off I-70?
Nope. We actually did not... kind of had my hands full with planning IPX, which I'm sure we'll talk a little bit more about.
We will be talking about that.
Trying to figure out our con displays for the rest of the year for Aya. Because it kind of varies in booth sizes depending on what con you're at.
See, and that's what sucks. There is no, like, because we are tackling it this year, and we have in the past, of, okay, how big is our table? Well, it's a standard 6 foot. Then we get there. Well, no, that's not 6 foot. And the back behind you is not, you know, 6 feet. It's like 2 feet. And you barely have space for your butt, let alone your bag.
I would send people a ruler and then go, why does this guy keep sending me rulers? It's very insulting.
Yes. Yes. So Aya, of course, is your group, your team, your label?
Yeah, business. Kind of, we're Aya Studios LLC now.
Whoa, that's a new development.
Yeah, we have a staff, essentially, so it's...
Unpaid staff, but we have a staff.
We're working on the paid part, but...
I know the feel. Red knows that feeling, actually, staff, and she's unpaid.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a financial manager.
What are you talking about? She got a ride today.
Help with that, so.
Oh, I tried.
She drives me. She drives me.
Oh, man, you don't have a leg to stand on.
Not a single one.
Oh boy.
Thank you for opening up that one. So the look alone.
Don't worry, I won't let it close.
Yeah, I know it won't. So Aya Studios Inc. So how much are we looking forward to, or what are you guys looking to produce this year? Because with Raphael stuff, it is, I know he has his book. Now, do you have your book in conjunction with it?
So I've still been working on Cowie. We've had to delay due to shipping because it's a hardcover. It's a 100-page graphic novel hardcover. So a lot of the printing and like trying to figure out shipping of when we'd get the dates and everything has been delaying us a little bit.
Logistics.
Our plan is for Denver Comic Con, though possibly IPX, which might be a better bet because two of the artists that actually have helped me with this, they're I'm flying them out for IPX.
Oh.
And so.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll explain more of IPX, I guess. Do you want me to do that now since I keep referencing?
Well, you know what? We might as well go into what IPX is. You are bringing Indigenous Con to Colorado. Now, this originally was an Albuquerque-based convention. It's Native American influenced. And now the smart thing, which is to move it here to Colorado, because I think this is a long time in coming personally. What you have done in the community for American heritage and what you have moved forward with is mind blowing, because you're doing this with Pop Culture Comic Con or Pop Culture Con in the classroom, in addition to the school systems, and now you're bringing the convention here.
Yeah. So Indigenous Comic Con is, it started out in Albuquerque, and it's actually still there. What we're not necessarily moving it as much as branching out.
Okay.
So I'm the director of the Denver.
The Denver chapter?
Yeah, the Denver chapter, and we're
sounds
calling
like
it Indigenous Pop Ex.
Sound like a cult.
Let's not say chapter.
No. Yeah.
The branch.
The branch.
There
we have an office. The Denver office.
But it's Indigenous Pop Expo now, or IPX.
Okay.
And then we actually have another one that's opening in Melbourne later this year.
Melbourne?
So it has become international.
Wow.
So I'm doing Denver, and then Keenan is in charge of Melbourne, and then Lee, who's the producer of all this because he came up with Indigenous Comic Con, he is still doing the Albuquerque one.
So we have to go to Australia now.
Yeah, that's
the only place I have not traveled, and I am so ready for that.
Yes.
That we can do this mobily. We can go anywhere.
Can we then?
Yes.
Sweet. So you're paying? I'm on board.
Well, shit. I got my ticket covered. I don't know about the rest of y'all. Melbourne is quite... That is... Why Melbourne?
Because it's better than Sydney.
She said it, man.
It had to be said.
Yeah, I think it's because that's the community that Keenan came from, and he's the one who's in charge of.
Okay, so grassroots kind of approach to it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, you know, with the Aboriginal people over there, like they felt like they wanted to have the con come and kind of showcase their versions of pop culture too.
Okay.
And for Denver, you know, we differentiate from Albuquerque in the way that it's expanded from being just a Comic-Con. Why we did Pop X is so that we can include movies and games and all of those things that go under the pop culture umbrella.
Right. The umbrella is getting much bigger.
Yeah.
Rather quickly.
More so than that, I wanted to really think about the term Indigenous to mean more like when people hear it, they think primarily American Indian or like First Nations or something around those like ideas, but when you actually look at the word, it's of or from this land, so everybody's Indigenous. And so Indigenous Comic Con, it's
where's your family from?
Good question.
Wherever your family's from is where you're Indigenous from.
Yeah,
is the aspect that we're looking at.
I understand.
Yeah.
But I'm not Indigenous here.
Oh no.
Well, that's kind of the
native here.
You're not a native Colorado, and you are not.
Well, I meant the country.
Yeah, you're not even native to the country.
Yes, I am.
I thought you were born on an Air Force base outside of the U.S.
Born in California, dude.
Oh, okay. Dude?
She just proved you wrong.
Just so, dude.
Yes, there we go.
You ever question whether or not you're from California, you just say dude.
Dude.
Yeah.
That's the nail right there.
But thinking about that, like how you relate to your land. So everybody is from, like, we're all on one planet, basically.
Right.
So the idea of Indigenous Pop X is like how you create pop culture to advocate for problems that you're having human wise or like environment wise. So, like, how do you really tell your voice through pop culture?
Okay. So, how do you tell your story?
Yes.
All right.
Exactly. So, and what I'm trying to kind of encourage people to do is to create their own characters. Like, he'll tell you kind of, he had a really good idea around Indigenous Comic-Con when it was Indigicon or Icon.
Icon. Which is so fucking cool.
Yeah. Oh, dude, it was. I came up with a good slogan for it, too. It was going to be your own icon.
Ooh.
Create your own stuff.
That is impressive.
Your own cosplays. And then make them. You know, why make money for somebody else? Like McFarlane said it plenty of times. Why draw Spider-Man? That's not your character.
Well, that's what Hole started Image. Absolutely.
Yeah. So be your own icon. That's kind of what we want to push.
Yeah. And that's basically the whole push behind IPX. Because as fun as it is to draw some of the characters with a native twist,
right,
I feel like we would get mad if somebody drew that who was not native. And then that's the catch-22. Like, you're getting mad at somebody for something that you would do yourself.
Right.
And that I would prefer that we move away from that, because if you're not going to laugh at it when somebody who's not native does it, then why would you laugh when somebody who is native
you got all the whitewashing that happens in mm-hmm. in Hollywood, in addition to artists' interpretation of a certain mm-hmm. character, you know, where do you draw a line?
So yeah, like I with IPX we're trying to kind of put that meaning behind the characters and the art that you're creating.
Yeah, all right. I like that. Be your own icon, though. That is groundbreaking right now with everything that's going on with the climate, because the infighting right now in the culture, not only in the geekverse, with I mean, you've got cosplayers that are lighting other people's cars on fire.
What? Jeez. I did not hear that.
There was in California, evidently some cosplayer went off the rails, got pissed off at another cosplayer, and lit their car on fire.
Oh, my
what,
God.
They wear the same white spandex?
I don't know. I wish. I didn't go into the story far enough, and I'm just looking at
See,
it going.
I was in our prom dresses. We've had generations to work these things out. Cosplayers are still new to the whole thing. They don't know how to respond.
That's because us guys have jumped in now. It's cool for us to dress up. We don't understand the etiquette yet.
No. No.
You can't be wearing that same red shirt, you know?
Just dude. The other person look bad. I almost wore that Deadpool shirt tonight. You're lucky. So, I mean, the Geekverse, I don't know if it's trying to find its place or assert itself or what the hell it's trying to do right now. But I like... In fact, I'm really comfortable with the idea of the community, of bringing it all together, of being your own icon, presenting yourself in the best image that you see for yourself. Mm-hmm. So now, where are you guys holding the con, or do you have your programming and guest lists, or can you talk about your guest lists yet, or what are you working on? Because I already see you're like,
there's names we can't drop yet.
Okay.
Talk about guest lists.
Of course. I understand.
Yet, but I do know our location and all of that fun stuff.
Okay.
So we are at the McNichols building.
Oh, so we're right in the center of Denver City Park, mm-hmm. right there off of Broadway and 13th.
Yep. But the funny thing with us is we needed a place for panels because we have lots to say.
Right, of course.
McNichols building didn't really have as much space for panels, so we actually are at three locations.
Holy
so
crap.
We're at the McNichols building, and then we have the Symposium Theater at the Denver Post, and then our host hotel is actually the Sheraton, and that's where all of our paneling is going to be taking
place. But it's all with like in a block radius, because the Denver Post is directly catty corner from the park, and then the Sheraton is just down the street.
Yeah,
this isn't.
It's kind of like a little triangle area.
I so like that
section that we're hoping to kind of keep the traffic moving by having some live art, some people that are kind of will keep everybody knowing where they're supposed to go, because I know we're at three different.
So what are the dates? Have you decided on where you're going to be for the season, or because mm-hmm. that is even as much of a challenge nowadays as who and what you're bringing?
Yeah, so we're July 26th, 27th, and 28th.
Oh,
and
very nice.
The 26th is actually more of a launch party. It's not a full con day.
Okay.
So it's a setup day. We will have an orientation panel at the Sheraton, which will be a pretty good thing. And then we'll have an awesome kickoff party on that evening. And then the con will be the 2 days.
So okay.
The 27th and 28th.
So as a developer of a con, because, I mean, we've had other institutions, we've had Charlie on, we've had everybody else, but this is a little bit slipperier than anything else. You're taking a different angle. What are the challenges that you have faced? I mean, when you went into this thinking, this won't be that big a problem, and you're like, God damn, what the fuck was I thinking?
The hours.
hours for sure. But I definitely, I think I kind of got it a little easy because Lee already set this precedent with Indigenous Con.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a lot of support from Albuquerque Indigenous Con. Some of the staff is going to be coming up to help us with that. And then I think I basically get to inherit a lot of his mistakes and learn from them.
Oh, see, and that's helpful.
Yeah, so he had a lot of really good pointers and a lot of heads up that, I might not have known if I had gone in just my first year running a con, just me as my little lonesome. So I think that...
You're like, I never would have thought of that.
Yeah, no. Like, and I have actually a really good team so far. That was like my first goal, was to set up an actual team so that it wasn't just one person doing everything. And so I have a decent staff, and I've got lots of people who are interested in volunteering. And
So if we're taking volunteers or you're looking for volunteers, have you announced a date as far as when you're going to bring those on, or when or where do people need to go to see how they can be part of this? Because there's nothing going on your dates. Mm-hmm. I mean, because Denver Comic Con is so early this season, mm-hmm. they're out of the game because they're May 31st, June 1st and 2nd. I mean, they're out. And there's nothing else until later in the season, so.
I did actually just find out, though, that our dates are the weekend right after San Diego Comic-Con, so I was like, whoops, but.
But there's a lot of people that don't go to San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, yeah.
I mean, I've never actually been myself either.
Well, I mean, the hoops you have to jump through just to go to. Right? No, I don't even want to pay for the hotel anymore. And not to mention spending hours in line to potentially get into a panel. No, thanks.
I think right. The harder part of getting there is actually getting a ticket.
Yeah.
That's just ridiculous.
That's no. But a week after, mm-hmm. I think that's actually probably even better.
Yeah. It has hindered some guests. So I will say that, unfortunately.
Well, and, you know, of course they're going to come out of San Diego and they're like, oh, I got to get back to work. Or San Diego is very, very time consuming. There is no doubt about that.
Yeah, for sure. But if for our volunteers and anybody looking for information, our website's actually going to be up at the end of this week. We ran into a couple of programming issues with some of the forms. Since we've got volunteer application and one of the unique things with this con is we actually have an entire youth-centric floor.
Wow.
And with that, there's actually an opportunity for young artists to kind of be exhibitors. And figuring out the logistics of putting that in the website has kind of set us back a little bit.
So is there an... so let me... Is there an age requirement for the younglins? Or
too old. You can't go.
Why can't I? A mental capacity of a 12-year-old here. Hello.
Like everyone going to a Comic-Con.
Well, I think right. I'm a little bit older than your average one.
No, you don't get it, by the way. You just said you have the mental capacity. And now you're like, no, I'm older.
I might be a little older.
No.
So 21 is definitely the cutoff.
Okay, 21 is good call.
But basically, ages are from 12 to 21.
You okay.
Kind of look at some of those artist opportunities for youth.
Oh, all right. How many can you take? Or how have you attacked that animal yet?
Have not attacked that animal yet. They're actually going to be applying the same way that you would as an exhibitor.
Okay.
So it's very much set up to kind of teach kids on how to be a con artist. I love referring
such
to convention artists that way. It cracks me up.
I know, you always
it is a different. It is a different lifestyle. It really is.
Yeah, and this is kind of just to get them started and to kind of experience what it's like if they even want to do that. Because you know, I think one of the things that some of us convention artists and comic artists learned the hard way is we jumped in on the whole con scene and maybe spent too much money on the wrong thing, got too many prints, or ended up like, you know, spending all our money on our
booth the wrong con,
and
yeah,
the wrong con, and we didn't make our profit back.
Yeah.
And so the whole purpose of this is kind of to show youth the ropes of like, yeah, okay, if you're gonna get this con, if you're gonna spend like $500 on your booth, then you need to also...
That is a steep
like,
booth price right there.
Well,
that'd be sand.
Kind of like the norm. That's average.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And see, and I remember
it's
the days...
You've picked up a bill, but...
Yeah, no, it has been a while.
Yeah, but
I agreed.
If you spend that much on a booth, like, and you don't budget for how much you need to get to fill that booth,
yeah,
then that's a big, like, learning curve.
But see, I mean, 500 back in the day... Back in my day, I mean, a $500 table, that's San Diego, that's Emerald City. I mean, that yeah. That's like big time show. Average table's like $100, maybe 50.
Where
and those
going?
Those days are gone.
Been?
Those
oh,
days are
right.
gone. I mean, those, yeah, I already know. I already know those days are gone.
Described the price for Denver Comic Con.
Yes.
Like, and even like some, like for Rocky Mountain Con, we spent a lot. Like, it's, yeah.
And it's hit or miss. You don't know because you don't know how their advertising has been. You don't know what the floor, the traffic, even how it's set up. It can you're set in the corner. You think you're going to get all the traffic, but the door's on the other end, and nobody makes it to your
yep.
your corner.
That's happened
exactly.
to us.
So yeah,
and then, I think it's happened to me multiple times. Where I'm just like, son of a bitch, why am I not over? You know, and
yeah.
everyone else is like, luck of the draw. You don't know.
Yeah. So it's kind of our youth floor is kind of acting as our artist alley.
Okay.
So the kind of the novice artists that are just breaking into the business, but they'll be able to kind of learn from professionals. So it's actually like a learning opportunity that you don't get in many places.
Well, and that's one of the things, just there is no training rules. There is no mentorship. It is, you're an artist. They just kind of expect you to understand, know the terminology, how to work a con, and there you go. So, yeah. I mean, that's actually kind of helpful. It's very helpful. Yeah.
Think of it as a learning hospital where your life's not at stake.
Just your artistic career.
Right. But I feel like that's part of, you know, that's part of the reason we have starving artists is nobody really tackles the business side.
No.
Of being an art, and, like being an artist. So the contribution of artists to the economy is sometimes falls flat because
yes.
they don't understand how to do the taxes and all of the fun business stuff that comes with all of that.
Mm-hmm. And that's helpful. How do I sell? How do I price a print? I mean, because that has always been one of the bigger arguments that goes back and forth between us and a lot of people in the community of paying artists what they're worth.
I don't have opinions.
Red is overflowing with opinions, and being in the industry for as long as I have, I've seen both sides of the story as far as getting paid what you're worth, but also being realistic about being paid what you're worth.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, so when you're selling prints, Raphael, what standard size and price and, I mean, what have you looked at and how much has the industry changed for you over just, like, the last few years?
Oh, my God. I got in it late, to be honest. So when I jumped on board, something like this would have helped. But I was doing the standard questions. How much do I charge? What do I?
It's an enigma.
Commission. What do I do?
Yeah.
You know, now I've kind of got it down, and it's still one of those things. You just kind of tweak it per show. I range anywhere from 10 to 20 per print. Just depends on the print. Depends
right.
on how many I do, if I do a limited run on it. And then it also depends on, are they buying more stuff? You know, if they're buying more stuff, then I'm going to cut them a deal because I want them to be proud of what they're taking home and hanging it up and whatnot. And, you know, it's free marketing when the friend comes over and sees their room. but that's kind of where I'm at. And then as far as, like, original art, that's where it gets pricey. And that's where I would tell an artist, like, that's where you look at what you're worth as far as pay goes.
Right.
Because prints, you can redo them.
Right.
Left and right. You know, you sell out at $15 a pop. What's to stop you from going out
just
there and
printing off another run?
Exactly. But, you know, you sell your original art. Like, my Pia page art usually ranges anywhere from 100 all the way up to 3 to 4
right.
per page. And on my end, that's primarily because you get the pencils and you get the inks because I ink them separately.
Oh, okay.
But that's a one shot. I'm not getting those back. Nobody else.
No,
is
nobody
have
else
them.
Is.
That's it. I've got a buddy of mine who started out as a fan and now we're friends, and he's probably got the biggest collection of my Pia stuff. So, but he's proud of it, man. He knows he's the only one who's got it, and he's
well.
He's
and it is that one
on
off
every cover.
Really?
Yeah.
So. Bullshit. I want a cover in there. He can't have all of them.
Variants are still up.
Oh, okay.
But my covers, he's just like, nope, those are mine. I call dibs on them.
Wow. So. But see, that has actually got to be some form of gratification or fulfillment for you to have that dedicated of a fan, right?
Yeah. It's really cool. It's growing. That's the other reason I'm kind of a big fan of this whole be your icon thing that we were
mm-hmm.
talking about earlier. It's like, make your own stuff because you never know that might pick up. And I've had girls, like, he lives in Glenwood Springs, so he has us come to his shop every once in a while because he owns his own store.
Right.
It's called Tesseract Comics and Games, if you ever go up there.
I do know Tesseract.
Yeah, great guy. But we actually have a family that goes over there, and she specifically looks for my book and has them hanging on her walls. She's had me sign a couple of them.
Wow.
Commissions were, and, like, feeling like that's awesome. And, yeah, you can get a few fans drawing Batman or something, but when it's your own work, that's...
So as an independent publisher, what has been, like, your biggest obstacle to overcome so far? I mean, obviously, the talent and the skill and the story are there. But after you got all that done, what was like, the biggest thing that you faced? You're like, damn, I didn't even think about this.
Honestly, I'd probably have to say money and time.
Okay.
Because printing the books, they can get pretty pricey. And then if you want a really good deal, you got to print a lot of them. But then you got to sell those in order to print the next one.
Yeah, you're back at that $500 table that you're looking at trying
And what we're dealing with right now, without getting too in-depth at it, is that you have that dead space between con seasons.
Well, and we're in that vacuum right now, right?
Exactly.
Right now is our dead space. In fact, you're probably the first con that you are the first con we're talking about already for the season.
Yeah.
Because everybody's slowly starting to crank back up. So, yeah, what do you do in that downtime?
Unfortunately, we had to put PO3 on hold because it was supposed to be out in December, but because of the funding and then having to pay for the cons that are coming up, you know, they all want that up front. Luckily, we're with a printer that gives us 30 days to pay, but
we've
got to pay for it. But I'd say that's probably one of the biggest ones. And then just time. I stay home with Coda, so watching him and then trying to draw is near impossible. He's gotten to that stage where he tries to steal my pencil and starts to draw his own.
Already you're grooming your next artist. Yeah. God, you just are just a ruthless taskmaster.
Yeah, and then Christina's in high demand, so you know it's tricky to schedule both our times.
Okay.
Because we can't both be drawing a lot of the time while he's awake. So I'd say that's probably the next biggest challenge there, and then just after that, just being on time.
Well, you have kids.
Yeah.
A lot of them. To my shock, my God, Raphael.
Hey, before
you've never shot
replies,
a blank in your life, Jesus Christ.
Stop, because my previous kids were with one woman.
That's good to know. So with the art and everything that's coming up, how much are we going to see of your guys' stuff at Indigenous? I mean, are you trying to promote more of the environment and everyone else in the community? Or, I mean, are you guys going to be representative? Or are you going to be running around trying to keep this whole thing together?
Christina's running around.
Yeah, so since I'm director, I actually won't be at our booth very much during IPX.
But, okay.
Like I said, I intend to fly out the artists that worked on Cowie, and so they'll be there. And we'll have Pia and a couple other books that we've been working on.
Right.
And then the cool thing about IPX also is that there's some art that Ref's been doing for it, and he's our badge artist at the moment, too.
Really?
Yeah, I just finished the poster. She colored it. And then I'm going to be working on the badge art next. So
that's a huge undertaking.
Yeah.
I expect a nice press badge, all right? That's all I'm asking
really?
For.
Where's my chai tea? Sweet.
Oh, my God.
Help yourself. I know Red's all jealous about your son's onesie over there. Yeah, actually, Aaron's actually jealous, too.
He tends to steal the show, so...
I totally lost my question while looking at Dakota over there.
Coda, not Dakota.
Oh, Coda. Pardon me.
Means little bear.
Oh, bear. Cute. Yeah.
Actually, the funny thing about him is his full name is Coda Atsintli, which is water and Nahuatl. So.
Wow.
Little bear and then water, so we were laughing that he's a tardigrade because he's a water bear.
And on a fun note, he was... I guess blessed or screwed, depending on how you want to look at it, when he was born. He was a preemie, but he was born at 3 pounds, 14 ounces.
So he is pie.
He is pie.
Destined to be a nerd.
Nice.
And his parents are nerds.
You just should get him a pie t-shirt now.
Right. Actually, I want to get him that onesie that says, "I'm proof that nerds get laid."
That is perfect. That is awesome. Yeah, because, Raphael, you've brought your kids. I've met multiple ones at the cons. What do they input when they go to this? Are they into it, or are they kind of like, "Dad, you're a nut, and I don't want anything to do with you"?
My kids are usually really good. My younger son, Kai, I think you've met him.
I've met
he
Kai.
He actually looks tall, like older, because he's taller than me now.
Yes.
But he's kind of antisocial, so he likes comics and stuff.
Okay.
But he's just like, there's just too many people here, so he tends to kind of do his own thing. My son Sias, he loves it. He has fun. He takes his little sister Sophia around, and she actually cosplayed for the first time last year, her own character.
Okay.
Yeah, she made
and
a
funny note for Sias, he actually made him money like the first time I met him
at a
con.
Yeah, we were at ToyCon in Colorado Springs.
Yes.
Back in, what was that, 2015, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I brought him along with me because it was my weekend with him, but my other kids didn't want to come.
Of course.
And he sat at the booth, and it was kind of slow because they had us in this one room that was just like an offshoot.
Oh, yeah, because they had like the main area and then off the extra rooms. And yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
And we were in the corner to top it off.
Oh.
And I was with RTG at the time, so we were all sharing a table. So it was me, Colton, Oi Bob, and Christina, and Guy. So we're all sitting there, and it's just kind of dead.
Right.
And my son was like, oh, can I go look around? And I'm very weary and cautious about people. So I was like, yeah, I guess you can. He was young.
Right.
And I figured I could just kind of look out the door every once in a while. But he went out, and he came back about 30 minutes later or so, sat down. And the next thing I know, about 10 minutes later, people just like drove in and just started buying our stuff left and right.
Mm.
And we leave the con that day and we're on the way home and he looks at me. He's like, by the way, Dad, you're welcome. I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, all those people that bought your stuff, I brought them. So apparently he went out and he marketed for the whole table. So
very nice. Just to just rile everybody up, bring him over. That's
And then that year I took my second oldest daughter, Kyla, I took her to Denver Rocky Mountain or Denver Comic Con.
Right.
Technically, she took you because you almost didn't go.
No, that was my very first con. That's different. Denver Comic Con last year, when we first started hanging out, I brought her up because she's into special effects makeup.
Okay.
So she was doing makeup. She helped Bob out with doing
the
zombie
curl
stuff.
And, yes.
Oh, man, she was making a killing. You probably saw her. She had a half teddy bear that was mutilated on
her
face.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, man. And
that is impressive work.
Oh, man, she's insane. Like, you can probably hit her up on Facebook. It's just Kyla, K-Y-L-A, Maldonado. But she does actually makeup for, like, Zombie Crawl. Like, if you hit her up, if you want to do something special for Halloween, she'll do your makeup then, too. And she's going to.
No, that teddy bear was, dude, that was gruesome.
Man, she was worried. Typical artist.
Of course.
She wanted to make sure it was perfect, so she was having a hard time. But when she got it done, it was killer.
Wow.
I was so proud of her. But, yeah, she's still doing that stuff. So, like, the kids have all really gotten into it.
All right.
And very. Like,
so you basically spread the nerddom as far as you can. Christina's shaking her head yes. Like, yes, you have.
Well, one of the funny things with Pia, his youngest daughter, is like she always wants me to help her with her costumes and her cosplays.
Right.
And it's both a blessing and a curse because she refuses to cosplay anybody that's like, she refuses to cosplay humans. She wants to do creatures.
Okay.
Like she loves things with teeth.
Cool,
like
but oh my god, a huge pain in the ass.
Yeah, blue is her favorite. Like, she loves the raptor. She loves dragons. She likes wolves and foxes and things with teeth. And so, of course, she also doesn't pick, like, things that already exist to cosplay. She wants to cosplay her own characters. And so for, like, Halloween, she's like, I want to be my dragon character. And it's, like, a dragon with, like, a wolf head and multicolored wings, a rainbow tail.
Good lord.
And, like, she wanted to do the undead version of it, so it was, like, bleeding on top of all of that. And I was like, I have no time to help you with this. I'm sorry.
So there's just those are multiple projects just to get the cosplay done and then bloody it up.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's
and
for
she's
her.
Nine.
Yeah, her dragon character that we did for I'm afraid Denver to see what Comic-Con she wants to do was like that.
Later.
Wow.
Her mask came out pretty awesome, though, for Denver Comic-Con, the dragon one that we did. And then she had dragon wings and just, like, a tank top and leggings.
Good lord.
But, yeah, and then we actually had the little itty-bitty dragon wings to match for Coda. So it was an itty-bitty dragon.
Oh, that's, yeah, I can't imagine. I can barely get my own cosplays together, and most of them are, you know, already done. So, yeah, no. I do not envy you.
Mine was easy. I just had to pay for it. It was Spider-Man a couple of years ago. So I was just like, I'll just send the pattern out, get it printed, and I'll wear it.
Nice.
Yeah.
So now, for Indigenous, are you guys going to do, like, a cosplay section? Are you going to encourage cosplayers? Because, I mean, a lot of cons, it works, but some it doesn't. I mean, like this year's Rocky Mountain Con, as cool as it was to see cosplay, you know, it wasn't as prevalent. So, I mean, what do you guys, or how do you want to approach, you know, the geek culture right now?
So we will still have cosplay. It's going to be primarily on the youth floor.
Okay.
But in the past, like, one of the cool things about Indigenous Comic-Con is that they've done kind of cosplay contests with, like, their own like native twist on them.
Okay.
So it's been kind of fun. I'm sure we'll get some of that at Denver. I'm not pushing it as much because we are pushing for the whole be your own icon and
right. No, and that's I mean that is absolute. I'm actually really I'm more excited to see than, you know, another Deadpool or you know, God bless Harlequin. But I'm done. I'm spent. I really am. Wonder Woman, great. Woman power. Yeah. Let's see something else of you know, Captain Marvel or, you know, Raven or something else. Give me something new.
Yeah, so on the kids' floor, they will have the opportunity to do cosplay, and they'll have a little cosplay contest specifically for the kids. But for, you know, craft makers who want to be more like trying their own originality for making costumes, we do have an Indigenous Futurisms fashion show.
Oh.
So it's actually costumes and like outfits that are, where do you see like your Indigenous culture in the future and what would that clothing look like?
Okay.
And that's primarily the focus on the main floor.
Are you going to use all three floors?
Yes,
at McNichols?
Actually, so we are on all three floors. Our main floor is going to be that second floor.
Okay.
And then the top floor is, like I mentioned, the youth floor.
Okay.
And on the first floor, another really cool feature about this con is it comes with a little exhibit that's going to be there about 2 weeks ahead of time. It's called Electric Chaco.
Okay.
So it's what if, like, Chaco Canyon advanced in technology the way, like, Wakanda did?
Oh, that is a brilliant idea.
Yeah, so that's going to be it debuted at Denver, or not Denver, at Albuquerque Indigenous Con this past year. And it's going to be completely deconstructed and rebuilt for a Denver version here.
Wow.
And Indigenous Comic-Con and actually IPX have worked pretty good with Meow Wolf. Meow Wolf is kind of like our standing sponsor.
Okay.
So it should be a really cool exhibit.
Who's Meow Wolf for the ones at home that have no idea who that is?
So Meow Wolf.
Shame
is
on
this
you for
really
you know what? Even I lose track every once in a while and I'm like, "Oh yeah, okay."
Yeah. So Meow Wolf was actually it's a huge like interactive art gallery that was bought out in Santa Fe. It was a bowling alley actually. They turned it into this interactive like storytelling crazy art gallery, which if you have not been there, you need to go, cuz it's like, I mean, you walk through a refrigerator and you end up in a spaceship.
Sweet.
It's amazing. It's a really cool gallery, and they're actually opening one up here in Denver in 2020.
Oh, okay.
And so
we got the space.
Yeah, and it actually, I think George R. Martin was one of the people who bought it, I believe.
Wow. Okay.
Correctly. Yes. That's right.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's you need to go. Just Google Meow Wolf and you will see how amazing it is. It's really cool.
So is this a lot? So it's a lot of Native American influences, and then where it could have gone?
For Chaco Canyon?
Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
So it's kind of much like the whole way that people approached Wakanda. It's like, what would Electric Chaco look like if they were able to advance technologically and like be modern day city, essentially.
All right. I hope it works well here. I don't know with all the pot shops that haven't come up yet. I mean, there could be a couple places that it would work, but hopefully they put it downtown. Have you heard where they're going to put it here yet? Or
oh, what, for Meow Wolf?
Yeah.
So Meow Wolf, actually, they're just a sponsor. They're not part of Electric Chaco.
Okay.
Yeah, they're different.
Yeah. Okay.
Meow Wolf. I'm not sure where they were looking at, but I know things have been in development. They have a whole team here in Denver that we've been working with for a little while, and they're set to open in 2020, so I know they've been underway in developing. So
what's your next con? I mean, because we're just starting, where are you guys going to be next?
So we're doing mini-con.
Next weekend?
Yep.
Okay.
Next weekend, and then Galaxy Fest in Colorado Springs.
You're really going to do Galaxy Fest?
Yeah, so Kevin and Raphael are going to do that one.
Okay.
Me, Kevin, and Raphael will be at MiniCon, but then I'm not doing Galaxy Fest, and then our next big one, really, con-wise, will be Dink.
Okay.
For
which is April.
Yeah. In March, we are going up to, like you mentioned, Tesseract.
Okay. Which is so badass.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to go help him with his 1 year anniversary.
Yeah. So he's actually going to commission me to do a 1 year anniversary poster for the store.
Wow.
Yeah. So it'll go with his logo. I created some characters for him and everything. So
very cool.
It's we'll be up there, and we'll have Pia issue 3 by then.
Okay.
So we'll be doing that as well.
I'm excited to see issue 3.
Yeah.
Come on. Did you read the second?
Yes.
Yeah, what did you think, Andy?
You know what? I didn't see it coming. I'll give you that. I was like, whoa. And I don't want to give anything away, but I was like, god damn. All right. Hats off.
My favorite comment from that one was somebody said, who knew that a cute little nuclear trash panda could be so horribly vicious? That was a review. Yeah. So that was pretty.
Okay. Yeah. That does sum that up. That pretty much so takes the words out of my mouth, because I was just like, god, that is some vicious shit right there. Like, okay, all right. Now, what is the schedule for Indigenous? Because I'm sure you have your dates. So what can we look forward to? What do you got coming for us next? Because we'll be sharing it, mm-hmm. but, you know, in case somebody misses it from me, yeah. They need to go to you. What are they looking for? What's on the docket next?
Like I said, our website is going to be up this week for sure. My main deadline for our website was by the end of January.
Okay.
I've gotten tons of people who are interesting exhibitor-wise, and I've gotten a lot of people who are like, where can I submit a proposal for panels? I want to do a panel. Like, all kinds of things like that. So all of our website and application stuff will be up by the end of January at the latest.
Okay.
And then when people apply to be exhibitors, they'll get a notification pretty quickly after that.
So is there still availability to be an exhibitor?
Yes.
Okay.
So right now there's only a select few that I have completely squared off. Everybody else is like, you still have to apply.
Okay.
And no. We'll start.
Which is fair. Mm-hmm. And is there a panel that you're going to be running? Because I've seen the panels that you have run, which have been very enlightening and very empowering, especially the one that you did for Dink a couple of years ago for women. And walking out of that, a lot of women walked out feeling extremely enlightened, which is impressive. Well, that hurt.
Sorry about that.
You're fine. Not a worry. Coda evidently wants a career in broadcast.
Yeah, our cat is named Drax the Destroyer. Coda kind of learned a lot.
Just follow, just chases right behind him.
Yeah,
it's perfect.
A lot of his behavior.
So are you going to be running any panels, or can you announce any of the panels that you have going so far?
So I am not going to be running any panels for IPX because, you know, I probably need to be running the show. But for Denver Comic Con and for Dink, I will be doing panels.
Oh, okay. So you're returning to Denver Comic Con with a panel?
Yep, and same for Dink. We're hoping to do an IS-centric panel at Denver Comic Con, IPX panel at Dink.
Okay.
And, basically, in terms of what to look for IPX, just like us on Facebook, you can already look it up. It's Indigenous PopX. And if you like that, all of those updates will be coming shortly after we have our website up.
Okay.
And there's also a spot specifically for media, so for podcasts, if you want to go and set up, there's a...
No, there's another podcast allowed. It's just me.
It's right by the main stage, which is pretty cool. So
that's handy. That makes it easier for us. Trust me.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of why I wanted everybody to... I wanted a media section where you guys have your own privacy to be able to kind of do your thing.
Do interviews and mm-hmm. all of that, which yep. I'm sure will be exciting.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yep. And then, like I said, there's a big youth focus. So there's a lot of ways that sponsors can get involved. We've already got some pretty cool ones.
Okay.
There is going to be some pretty cool little pop-up events leading up to the event, to IPX, because IPX is actually sponsored by the Denver American Indian Commission.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a city event, really.
Okay.
And
wow, that's huge.
Yeah, because of that, we're going to have a couple fundraisers that are being put on by IPX. We're looking at some like pop-up events to just bring more awareness to it.
Okay.
So there's going to be cool and exciting things to kind of keep an eye on.
Okay. And we will be sharing all of those events as the calendar starts to pop itself up. So keep an eye on us in addition to Indigenous so that you can be plugged in. That kind of wraps up tonight. If you guys have anything else you'd want to cover...
I think I'm good.
You got it all?
Yeah.
I know.
I mean, we could go down the rabbit hole on a bunch of stuff, but that's just...
If you want. I mean, I'm flexible.
Hours on that.
I mean, because we didn't cover any movies. Best movie of the year for you?
so far, Spider-Verse.
Yes, by far.
I loved it. It was, it kind of nailed what at least I saw Spider-Man as growing up and why he's my favorite. The whole aspect that anybody could be him.
So,
amazing.
Did you like Fat Parker? Or were you kind of like, eh?
I hated it because, like, at first, because, you know, it's like, he's my favorite character. And so to see him down and out and dealing with a lot of stuff that I dealt with, like, years and years ago,
right. It
was just like, oh, man, that's hard.
That's just, and see, that's always.
He already goes through a lot of crap. But this is like, that on top of it was just really bad. But as I was watching, I was like, this is actually really cool because it's about this guy who just hits rock bottom who's hit rock bottom.
Well,
you never thought anything would beat him.
And that has always been the selling point to Spidey with me is that he always deals with like the everyday problems. He is the everyday superhero. I mean, he you don't see Cap going and dealing with like J. Jonah Jameson or, you know, what do I eat with my chimichanga today or, you know, whatever it is. Peter's always dealing with family, real life bullshit.
And that's what I liked about him because like reading Peter Parker and Spider-Man growing up, it was he picked himself up. Whenever he came down, he managed to get the willpower to pick himself up. And in this one, it was really interesting because he was ready to just quit. He was going to give up. And it was the one time that showed that not everybody can always pick themselves up, even when you think they can. Sometimes they need that leg up, and that's what Miles was for him.
Yep.
And I thought that was just brilliant.
That connection he needed to kind of push forth. Yeah. Now, they are already talking about a sequel.
Yep.
And is there a spider that you didn't see that you wanted, with the exception of 2099? Because that was pretty cool at the end as far as the teaser's concerned.
Admittedly, it kind of hit all three of my favorites. I do like Spider-Gwen, but she's not really my favorite. My top is Peter Parker, obviously.
Of course.
Because it's classic. I like Miles. Like I actually really love Miles, but my absolute favorite, and I hope they really do something good with him, and I think he's kind of been wasted here and there, is O'Hara. O'Hara.
Miguel.
And admittedly, selfishly, it's because, you know, he's Mexican. Mexican-Irish.
Mexican-Irish, yeah.
Interesting mix there, but it's like, oh,
but in
man,
the year 2099, that's acceptable, you know?
Yeah.
Well, we met several people like that. I
want to
see Silk.
Silk would be fun. Silk. And I'm surprised that we didn't see a glimpse of Silk or some kind of mention, but I'm hoping with the other storyline that kind of plays into it with Ezekiel and, you know, him taking out some of the multiverse spiders that we would see some of that. But I'm with you. I love Miguel. The 2099, the Death's Head spider costume has always been my favorite and always so underappreciated.
That's actually one of my next cosplays that I want to do.
I
think he'd be fun.
That would be fun. That suit's unforgiving, though. I mean, when you think about it, that's skin tight and, you know, there's no.
Just gotta get back in the gym, man.
I'm in the gym, but I'm a bowling ball, dude. I'm like 5 foot nothing, you know. Spidey's nice and angular. I'm not.
Yeah, I've got to
shut up
myself too.
Just because I'm not, you know, your svelte self over there. Yeah, I know. Love you. Best con of last year for you guys.
That's a tough one. For me last year?
Yeah.
The Crow.
Okay.
Obar re-released a leather-bound.
I saw that.
And Christina got it for me.
Oh.
Freaking amazing.
Did you say comic or con? I heard con.
I said con, but I'll go with for a comic. That's
con.
Absolutely.
Okay, we'll have to tackle con after. But yeah, that's my favorite comic.
That's amazing.
He added some pages to it. So it's like a director's cut.
Okay.
And it was really cool. And then I actually had the pleasure of meeting him at Dink last year, and he actually did a little sketch on it for me.
Very nice. Remark. Yeah. I had him sign my Crow number one a couple of years ago. I ran into him at I don't even remember what con. But I mean, very genuine, cool, kind of quiet guy, though. I was expecting a little bit more, considering the Crow's storyline, I expected a little bit more robust, but he's very just reserved, so quiet.
I totally got what I expected. Like, I was like, oh, man, this guy's been through the ringer. So when I finally met him at Denver Comic Con my first year going, it was interesting. And I made it quick because I was all starstruck.
Of course.
You know, I was just like, oh, my God. Bought a print from him. He signed it. And then I walked away like a giddy little schoolgirl. And then the next year I got to meet him again, and he showed up. And we just
started
talking.
You?
Yeah, he actually remembered me, and
That's impressive. We started talking,
and he was actually talking about the remake that they were talking about at the time, which was with Luke Evans.
Mm-hmm.
Told me about how he met him and how the guy came into his house and all this cool stuff. Giving me juice on the movie, probably when he shouldn't have. But we talked for a bit, and I thought that was really, really cool. Not a lot of people do that.
No.
You should have seen his fan reaction when, like, Dink last year when I was saying bye. He gave me a hug to give to him.
Aww.
Like, I got a hug from Obi. It was, like, totally girly moment. It was hilarious.
There's nothing wrong with that. Trust me. I've had those moments, too, where I'm just like, you know?
When I met James Marsters, I was like, I was so starstruck because he said my artwork was beautiful and showed it off to his entire panel.
Wow.
And so I walked out all like big smile.
Just stupid happy, weren't you?
Like, yeah, people were trying to talk to me and I was like, nope. I'm in my bubble. That's right. Like,
I'm bathing in the glory of this right now. Leave me alone.
Like, Spike just told me my artwork was beautiful.
He is a fun guy. I've chatted with him a couple times. And that guy, he is a fun guy. I really do like talking to Marsters.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would love to get him on the podcast, but he's like, no. I know. I was like, damn it. But I'll talk to you. Okay, I'll take that.
Leguizamo was cool last year.
Yeah.
Really?
I don't know if you got a chance to meet him.
You know what? I know with Dink and everything, but he had such a crowd around him, and I didn't have the gear, and I was just like, that's why we will be at Dink this year with our table. Nice. So we'll cover that later. But, yeah, I didn't get a chance to talk to Leguizamo, but he looked just passing and chatting him up a little bit. He walked out without, like, any security or anything, just went right out the front door and into downtown Denver, and I'm like, oh, that could just go so wrong so fast.
I made it a point to see him because I went down the Steven Seagal rabbit hole, and I came across one of his interviews where he was talking about it, and I was like, oh, man, I got to meet this guy. So I met him, and I bought his book, and I had him sign it for me. But in it, the stipulation was he had to sign it, Steven Seagal runs like a little bitch.
He does. Steven Seagal can't run. It's horrible. There's that one movie, and I think he's on the train, and he's running like this.
Just that one moment?
Yes. Like, it's all the moments. But, yeah. I mean, that's all you see is just this awkward duck waddle. It looks like a duck with his ass on fire, you know, as he runs. It's just like, Steven Seagal is not... No.
Not a runner.
Not at all. Have you watched Leguizamo's new stand-up on Netflix?
Oh, God. I love it. The first time I watched it, for anybody who's listening who hasn't seen it, it's John Leguizamo, Latin History for Fucking Morons is the actual title. Of course, it's bleeped out in the show.
Of course.
But it was really cool. Like, the first time I watched it, I laughed hysterically. Second time I watched it, I actually cried. Christina was at work, and I watched it again, and it made me cry because it made me realize how much of Latin history was actually X'd out of history and not talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even as like degraded or anything. It's
omitted.
Exist.
Yep.
He actually talked about, I think it's Arizona, who outlaws any teaching on Latin history and the
contributions. Shut up! Really?
Yeah. It is illegal for it to be taught in high schools and even in some colleges.
Wow.
And they did that in Oklahoma with. American Indian history. So now you're actually not allowed to teach American Indian history in Oklahoma.
Yeah, so it was an eye-opener. I even started reading one of the books, well, listening because I don't have time to read, but I started listening to one of the books that he recommended.
And mm-hmm.
It's terrifying how badly South America has been done.
Like, yes.
Colonization from across the sea and everything. And then just the pure lack of that in the art history books. Because if you look back, we actually contributed to us winning a lot of the wars.
Yes.
Having the money for those wars, having the materials for those wars. A lot of Latin Americans at the time, even Mexicans, quote unquote, you know, down south, actually contributed a lot of their own jewelry.
Yes.
To buy armament or to melt it down and make weapons.
Yeah, there's a huge contribution.
Yeah, and it wasn't actually stolen either. It wasn't like they...
No, it was donated. Like, it was for the cause. We're Americans. We're in on this.
Yeah, and then subsequently after each war, they were kicked back out of the States.
Mm-hmm.
And told they were illegal and not welcome. And it was like, wow, man, that's...
Yeah,
this is terrifying.
Because there, I mean, a lot of World War II, there was a huge donation from the Hispanic community, the Indian community. There, without you guys helping back the U.S. economy, I don't think there's any way we would have pulled that shit off.
Oh, yeah. It's insane. So if you haven't seen it, I definitely...
It's a must.
Yeah, it is definitely a must. It's definitely a lot of comedy. but it's got some pretty good lessons.
No, which is where it should
my
be.
My son looks like a bear rug in front of a fireplace right now.
He's hiding. He's hiding, and he looks like a rug on the floor. Oh, my God. Christina, best con for last year?
Yeah, I still need to answer that.
Yeah, you still have an answer. Well, you, yeah.
I'll let you go first. That's a hard one, because I feel like, you know, all of them have such different feels.
That's true.
So it's kind of like hard to pick, because I love Dink. I love how
it's really hard to beat Dink right now because of the uniqueness.
Yeah, and then I love Denver Comic Con because it's our resident con, and it's just like it's fun in its own way, and we had all the kids, so it was crazy.
Oh my God, I could not imagine having kids. I can barely handle the Ghostbusters, but let alone a bunch of children.
My nephews were visiting too, so whenever my nephews come to visit, they get along really well with the kids, and so like we have five of them in the house.
Good Lord.
And we have a 2-bedroom apartment, so that was Denver Comic Con.
Six in the house.
Well, he doesn't count because you can like sleep next to you.
Yeah.
Like at the during Denver Comic Con, they're basically, my nephews are 10 and 8. And so they're like right in the middle of the perfect ages for like getting along with Sias and Kai and Pia. And so there was the five of them in their bedroom. I just gave them free reign to turn it into a fort. And I was like, so long as you clean it up at the end of the weekend, just have fun.
Cushion fort, only way to go.
Exactly. And they basically were running around Denver Comic Con, which made it really fun. And then Indigenous Comic Con is just like fun in its own way because we get to go down to Albuquerque, see family, and
just run around.
Yeah, and it's got
you gotta
its,
pick
like,
a favorite though.
It's differences. I can't. I don't know. And you forget I have good relationships with all three of those that I like integrate.
Yeah, there's
so
politics
like
in that
I
one.
I know there's so many politics.
I'm like, I can't be like.
Everybody knows I'm an
like
asshole, but you know.
Better than this person's con because all of those like connections kind of our business and other businesses rely on.
Yeah,
me, like,
we cross over.
See, me, I don't care. Like politics don't get my way. So
no.
It was a hard pick, but Denver Comic Con because that's when we launched Pia.
Which is good.
Yeah.
No, and you know DCC, PCC, which I really hate saying, and I don't.
DCC.
Yeah.
DCC.
DCC. I can't. I can't. Yeah, I know. I can't do it. No, DCC is fun, and you know what? I love going down there. Last year it seemed like the zenith of guests, and they're already naming new guests. Is there someone out there that you want to see that you haven't yet?
Oh man. Robert Rodriguez would be fun.
Oh,
okay. I'd love to meet him.
Like, that's a good one. That's a good guest.
Yeah. That's a good one. And he's done a lot of comic booky stuff. So
he does.
I don't know why he hasn't done one yet. That'd be cool.
It's probably the price tag to get him to come out.
I want to meet The Rock.
Dwayne Johnson.
Yep.
And I have to say, after seeing the Shazam trailer, the new one that landed last night, I'm really hoping he does Black Adam. I just want to see him just be evil as shit.
Yeah,
the sad thing is it's DC, so you don't know.
You don't.
He's confirmed, but whether or not it actually happens.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
That's the hard part.
But they are doing a sequel for Jumanji, so we will see him again in that role.
And Jumanji was just so funny.
It was hilarious.
How are they going to... They destroyed the game. How are they going to bring back Kevin
It's
Hart
magic.
And, like,
it recreated rock. Itself from a board game into a video game. It's magic. You can't.
I didn't know they were making that until I watched an interview with Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
And he said,
and I was
Jumanji
like, oh my
too.
God. That'll be fun.
Yeah, Kevin.
Was a surprisingly good movie.
You know what? I said the exact same words that came out of my mouth. I'm like, surprisingly, that was really good.
Although I think out of all of them, Jack Black stole the show.
Yes.
He's like the most perfect teenage girl ever.
I've never seen anyone play it better, to be honest with you.
I'm not a Jack Black fan, but man, I found myself laughing at him hardcore.
I've never really cared much for Jack Black either, but that was like he stole the show.
Well, and the one with the clock in the walls?
I haven't seen that. I want to.
So good.
I
oh my
see
god.
That.
Again,
on
another
my list of what I want to watch.
Another solid performance from Jack Black, and it's just like, oh, damn, dude. Why are you hiding these talents? You know, I can only take so much you and Cage on stage being jackasses, but you know, you got some acting skills.
Mm-hmm.
So alrighty, kids. Well, I will let you get out of here because someone looks like they're done playing Bear Rug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Yep, grumpy face.
Can you say bye, Coda?
Coda's done.
Say bye. Doksa.
Oh, the big smile. There we go. All right, guys. Be sure to follow him on Facebook, the interwebs, and everything else. We will be sharing the information as it comes across, in addition to interviews that will be coming from the con itself. So if you have questions, you can't get a hold of them, we will forward any messages you may have. So, guys, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Looking forward to next year. Jesus Christ. Nope. Already this year. Because in the end, we're all stories, so make it a good one.